Our epistle is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15. Brethren, I make known unto you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you were saved, if you hold fast after what manner I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, which I also received, that Christ died not for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, that he was seen by Cephas, and after that by the 11. Then was he seen by more than 500 brethren at once, of whom many remain until this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, and by all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen also by me, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace in me has not been void. Insinuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. At that time, Jesus, going out of the coasts of Tyre, came by Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, and through the midst of the coast of the Decapolis. And they bring it to him, one deaf and dumb, and they besought him that he would lay his hand upon him. And taking him from the multitude apart, he put his fingers into his ears, and spitting, he touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he groaned and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be thou opened. And really his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke right. And he charged them that they should tell no man. The more he charged them, so much the more a great deal did they publish it. And so much the more did they wonder, saying, he had done all things well. He has made both the dumb, the deaf to hear, and the dumb to speak. Thus in the translation of today's Holy Gospel. Today's Mass is being offered for Adam and Sarah Huval. Please take open the bulletin for the other information. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed are thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed are thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed are thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us and pray for us to thee, St. Francis of Sales, the Holy Guardian Angels, and the Father, and the Son, Holy Ghost, amen. Today our Lord heals a man who is both deaf and mute, unable to hear, unable to speak. And there are many ways we can unpack today's gospel. First of all, look at our Lord's compassion. He groans when he sees the man, when he's trying to heal him. His groan is a groan of compassion. Our Lord knows suffering. Our Lord knows humiliations. Our Lord knows what it means to be deprived of necessities. And so this should give us confidence in our own life when we experience humiliation or we experience a downturn, our material needs or our health. Our Lord knows, he knows our suffering, and he has empathy, he has compassion. Our Lord is not a distant God. Our Lord groans in our pain. So that gives us hope and trust and confidence during times of hardship and darkness. Notice the Lord heals his man from two things. From being unable to hear and to be unable to speak properly. On one level, this points to the need of us humans for divine revelation. In a certain sense, we humans in this world need, because of our supernatural deafness, we need God to reveal to us supernatural truths. It is true that on some level, we can grope around, and we come to know certain truths without revelation. We can know that God exists, that God provides. We can know some parts of the natural law on our own, groping around in our supernatural deafness. But we need God to break in to our world and reveal dogma to us, to reveal truth to us, reveal himself to us. We are in desperate need of revelation in order to be saved. Revelation is a healing of mankind's deafness. And if he's deaf, then he can't speak the truth. He doesn't know the truth, doesn't hear the truth. He can't proclaim the truth. And so, over the last 200 years or so, there's been an attack on revelation. Again, revelation is vital for our salvation. So the revolutionaries want to attack revelation. Imagine we all have two legs. We stand up on two legs. Imagine one leg is tradition, and the other leg is scripture. Well, what do the modernists and the revolutionaries, what do? They first want to chop off the leg of tradition, right? So that we don't rely on tradition. They do so by attacking it, by dismissing it, by despising it, or simply not by talking about it. This is how they get us revolutionaries not to be in tune with the fullness of revelation. So we're left on one leg, trying to balance as we can, trying to hop around on one leg, the leg of scripture, and the revolutionaries come again, attack again. And they want us to doubt the veracity of the Bible. They want us to think that the Holy Scripture has errors in it. They want us to doubt Genesis 1 through 11. They want us to doubt our Lord's words. They want us to look at the scripture as any other literary book, not seeing it as fully and completely inspired, and therefore without errors. The church always taught that there can be and are no errors in Holy Scripture. Now, certain manuscripts, certain copies, certain translations, of course, those can have errors. But the words written down by inspired authors are to be trusted. And so the revolutionaries want us to go from 2 feet to 1 foot to no feet and to fall down face on the ground. And we have to resist them by loving revelation, by loving the fact that God and his goodness and mercy reveal to us dogma and truth. And this dogma and truth brings us clarity and hearing, clarity in thought, and clarity in speech. And so we praise our Lord for revelation, and we resist those that attack revelation. And finally, today's gospel is a warning about the danger of misuse of the tongue. This man is not able to speak properly. He has a string, it says, holding down his tongue. And so many theologians, church fathers, when they comment on this passage, they see it also on one level as a warning about the sins of the tongue. And so I'd like to read an excerpt from Father Leonard Goffi. He was a German priest who wrote a book called The Church's Year. He had a commentary every Sunday on the gospel. And he wrote about today's gospel the following. There is no member of the body more dangerous and pernicious than the tongue. The tongue, says the Apostle St. James, is indeed a little member, boasteth great things. Behold, how small a fire kindleth a great wood. The tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. The tongue is placed among our members, defileth the whole body, and inflameth the wheel of our activity, being set on fire by hell. The tongue, no man can tame, an unquiet evil, full of deadly poison. But if we bless God and the Father, and by it we curse man, who were made also in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. There is no country nor city, scarcely even a home, in which evil tongues do not cause quarrel, strife, discord, enmity, jealousy, slander, seduction, and debauchery. An impious tongue reviles God and his saints, corrupts the divine order, causes heresy and schism, and makes one intemperate, unchaste, envious, and malevolent. And the word is according to the apostle of fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue of the serpent seduceth our parents, our first parents, and brought misery and death into the world. The tongue of Judas betrayed Jesus. And what is the chief cause of war, princes, revolts among nations, if not the tongue of ambitious, restless men who seek their fortune in war and revolution? How many and fine have plunged themselves into the greatest misery by means of their unguarded tongue? How can we secure ourselves against this dangerous domestic enemy? Only by being slow to speak, according to the advice of St. James. To speak very few sensible and well-considered words. In this way, we will not offend, we'll become perfect. And this cannot happen without special grace of God. But we must, according to the advice of St. Augustine, beg divine assistance in the following words. O Lord, set a watch before my mouth, and a door around about my lips, that I may not fall, my tongue destroy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you.